Festival One podcast.
It's an honour to introduce today Sunny Kairana, who many of you know. Sunny is kaumātua of Ngāti Hoa and this land, and he is guiding Festival in our move to the new site. We're very privileged to have his wisdom, and please give him a round of applause.
Thank you for that, and thank you everyone for coming here today, coming to church. You're on the right day. I got the day wrong yesterday. So I was sitting in here 11 o'clock yesterday morning waiting for everybody to come to church. So I should have taken a cue from what day it was. Church is on Sundays. So welcome to church. Me wehiki te atua. To fear God is the beginning of wisdom. Me wehiki te atua, me whakahonare. Me wehiki te atua, te timatanga o te whakaronui. To fear God is the beginning of wisdom. We say this every time a Māori orator stands on the marae. Me wehi ki te atua, te tīmatanga te whakaro nui. And then we go on to say, me whakahonore te kingi. It can be your king, it can be my king, it can be anyone else's king or queen for that matter. But this is the time to honour that. We have one of those. The Māori world has a Māori king. And in our speeches, we begin our speeches just like that. Me wehi ki te atua, te tīmatanga te whakaro nui, me whakahonore te kingi. So for a lot of us, we say, me whakahonore te kingi Māori. A tūheitia, pōtatau, te whero, te tuawhitu. So we honour the king, and our king is King Tūheitia. His title today is Pōtatau, King Pōtatau, King Tūheitia, Pōtatau, te whero, number 7. Pōtatau te whero was the first Māori king. Our current king, King Tūheitia, is the 7th Māori king. So that's the beginning of all of our speeches, all of our what we call whai kōrero on our marais. Me wehi ki te atua, te tīmatanga te whakaro nui, me whakahonore te kingi. Dire, dire, hau pai Māori. Welcome, once again, to our church, to our time. It's not often that we get a time to talk like this. It's not often that we get people with knowledge that takes time out of their normal 9-to-5 job and come to events like this and share. What makes our world so special? And if we were to analyze what we believe in, we might find that we're not so detached as a culture to other cultures that others might think we are. God was known to us before the Bible even reached Aotearoa shores. He gave us a name to call him by. And to this day, we call him Io, Matua Kore. Io, I-O, is not a word in any Māori dictionaries. It's not a word in any other written language. We don't even know the meaning of that word. Yet, we pay homage to that word. Yet, we follow that word as diligently as the Christians of today do, our Christians. Io matua kore. served as a guide and as a director of all of our ancestors that lived before the coming of the Bible to the shores of Aotearoa. So I'll elaborate a bit more about that shortly, but I need to give you some, give credit, I guess, to this presentation here today. Just let you know a little bit about my own background and why I agreed to share what I'm going to share here today. So, ko ngā pine te waiwera, te ahurewa, taituha, Sunny Karena is my name. I just gave you my whole whakapapa. Just gave you my whole genealogy there. The first two names that I gave you, ngā pine te waiwera, depict my Ngāpuhi descent. My father is from the far north, and in these names, which he bared in his time, and which his father bared in his time, and so on, I now bear. I carry these names proudly. I use these names wherever I am, and I share these names with others. The next two names, Te Ahurewa, those first two names give you my Ngāpuhi, or Far North, Whakapapa. The next two names, Te Ahurewa Taituha, are my mother's. It's my mother's whakapapa, my mother's names. It's my grandfather, my mother's grandfather's name is Te Ahurewa, that's now my name. Taituha is our family name, that was once my great-grandfather's first name. I carry that name now, and so does my youngest son. Names are very important in our world, and eventually so did God become very important in our world. Later on, I had another name attached to my repertoire of names, and my parents were very religious, and they also named me Grace. So on my birth certificate, it reads, Sunny Grace Ngāpine Karena. I don't use Grace very often in my introductions. I use the initial G in my signatures, though. But when it comes to a marae, and we introduce ourselves, we need to explain about our waka. We need to explain about our river and our mountains. And that's what gives essence, I guess, for me it does, to who you are known by. I've been married to my dear wife. Is she in here today? There she is. Everybody's pointing to her. I've been married to my dear wife, Te Rau Mako Paiarahi, for 41 years. She is of the mighty Ngāti Haua tribe, whom we will be analysing throughout this session. We have four adult kids. Yep, four adult kids and a few mokopuna, all of whom we are very, very, very proud. And we bend over backwards to see that our children are cared for. Even though our daughter is in her 40s, mid-40s, our two older sons are in their 40s as well. The youngest is in his 20s. We still call them baby. My wife there still calls our 46-year-old daughter baby. We still call our 24-year-old son baby. My youngest son, just starting to walk at the age of 12 months or more, And he found his way outside. We lived out on the farm. And my mother-in-law was out the back and with her leaf rake, raking up the leaves and et cetera. And then she'd burn them in a little hole that she'd make. She'd come inside. We'd have a special box inside for paper rubbish, and that's what would fuel the little fire that she used to like making. Not realising that her mokopuna, a little boy, found his way outside, and that there was a fly spray can or some sort of can that was amongst the rubbish. And as he found his way next, because he couldn't even walk, he was crawling, but he found his way, and he found his way next to the fire, and the fly spray can blew up, burnt my little 12-month-old from head to toe. My wife and I were downtown. The day was a special day. Our daughter was being admitted to the bar. She had been 5 years study in law, and she was becoming a lawyer, and that she had just been getting admitted to the bar that day. We woke up early that morning. Everything was going to happen at our marae in Morrinsville, at Rukumwana, whom she is named after. Her name is Rukumwana. And we were going to have a big day there. So Te Rau Mapo and I went downtown, got a few things together, ready to go back up to the marae, when one of our nieces told us that you better go over to the medical centre. There's an emergency. And we get there. I see my mother-in-law sitting there with this baby in her arms. I walk straight past her. And then I pull up a nurse and I go, my mother-in-law's all right, so who else is in here? Well, she said it's your son. And I was pointing to that baby in her arms. I didn't recognize him. He was white. My baby was black. Well, dark. And he was white. And all his skin was burnt off his body. And we were at the medical center, and I said to Te Rau Mako, you go back to the marae. You carry, because she was getting into the ambulance with me. I said, you get off this ambulance, you go back up to the marae, and you make sure no one knows what's happened here today. And then we left medical center, got to the hospital. The doctors gave me the worst scenario of all. They said that he's going to have to have pressure masks on his face for a year and all of those kind of things, and that he's going to be scarred for life. Every day we prayed. Every day my wife and I reflected back on our learning at the marae. When we were at the marae, we were at church. Paul over here, his father was a preacher on our marae and for our people for all of his life. And so was his father. And so was his father. Our history in Ngāti Hauā has two sides. So with my children and my family being settled now, both of us, Te Rau Mako and I, are able to concentrate now on our people. Now, we said this 25, 30 years ago, and we're doing it today. So, today's session is Tangata Whenua and God. And I said that we had two periods of history that impact us and influence us even to today. 1350 AD, it is said that the great migration took place of the Māori people. Seven waka came here in 1350 AD, and they landed at different points throughout Aotearoa. Some of them were related to one another, some of them weren't. However, upon their arrival here, and whilst they were settled on the coasts, either the west coast or the east coast, they would build their lives there. They would build their homesteads there, and they would build their food gathering places there. The sea was one of those baskets for them. But it was nearly 100 to 200 years later that they ventured inland. So the Ngāti Haua people, we were part of a wider group of people called the Tainui Waka. Within that group of people are made up of many iwi. And within those iwi groupings are also made up whānau groupings, if you like, hapū. Hapū is the word, it's the Māori word for pregnant. But hapū also means descendants. And so a hapū, used in that context, means all of that grouping of descendants of the Ngāti Haua iwi in that area. For example, you go to Morrinsville today. As you arrive in Morrinsville, you will be entering into the Ngāti Werewere hapū of Ngāti Haua. You go out to Waharoa or Matamata, and you enter into the hapū of Ngāti Te Oro of Ngāti Haua. You come over here to Matangi, just before Hamilton there, you'll be going into Te Iti o Haua, hapū of Ngāti Haua. So, you know, that's how we define and how we communicate with one another, because at the end of the day, when you need that alliance, all of that alliance is there. All of your support is there in the form of those groupings of people. So that's how we come to understand what the groupings of Māori tribes are like, and how unique that they can become just by their own identity within the tribe itself. Ngāti Werewere, Ngāti Te Oro, Te Iti o Haua. All together, we are Ngāti Haua. All together, we are Ngāti Haua. So here in Cambridge, we're in Te Iti o Haua district. So usually you're serviced by a marae at Taupare, just out of Hamilton there, for this part of Ngāti Haua. You come to Morrinsville, then we've got two marae there, Kaia Tamata and Rukumwana, and we would service that area of our tribe. So basically, that's where our tribal groupings come from, how we lived with one another over these 400, 500, 600, 700 years. We lived in that fashion. There was order in that fashion. Since 1350 AD, we lived like that. There was no issue. There was no headline news that was made during that period of a few hundred years. News came in 1856 when 1856 when a national hui was established on the shores of Lake Taupō at a place called Pūkawa. The name of the meeting was called Hinanakiuta Hinanakitai. It means we shall meet here today. The purpose of our meeting is to search far and wide. And what were they searching for? They were searching for a person suitable to be king. They were searching for a person suitable to be king over the Māori people. But before that, 1840s, there was a great influx of missionaries. They came here on the coattails of Captain Cook, who discovered Aotearoa, who decided to go back and recruit different people to come here and stake the place out. And so the missionaries were given that task. And they came here from 1815 onwards. And they befriended different tribal chiefs around the country, especially up the north, where my father's people are from, and who they befriended there. They taught them about the Bible. They taught them about God. And they taught them how to act, if you like. What I was supposed to have bring here today was a little what you call stick thing drive, and plug it in here. But I figured I don't need a PowerPoint presentation because all you people here have seen it already. My PowerPoint presentation doesn't require a plug, three-point plug into a wall. You've already seen it. You've walked past it every day since you've been here. And my PowerPoint presentation and the screen is at the gates leading into the village. How many of you have seen that portrait out there? Massive, eh? Beautiful. 3D, three-dimensional thing. It was lovely the first time the festival organizers brought it out. And that was neat. We saw it up there for the first time. His name is Weremu Tamihana. He only had one name when he was born, and that was Tarapipipi. Because the missionaries couldn't pronounce his name, Tarapipipi, they christened him William Thompson. And he's known as Weremu Tamihana today. He's my PowerPoint presentation. He is the epitome of who we are here today. He not only ended our first history, but he began our second history. In 1856, Weremu Tamihana at this hui on the shores of Lake Taupo, he nanaki uta, he nanaki tai. When the question was asked, how do we establish a king? Weremu Tamihana showed them three books in the Bible that told of how God anointed Samuel to go out amongst the people and find a person suitable to be king. He says, hang on, Samuel, before you go, here's the criteria. And one word was the criteria for us in Māoridom. That one word was whakapapa, genealogy. So Samuel said to, God said to Samuel, go out amongst your people and find a suitable candidate to be king over you, but don't let him be a stranger. Let him be one of your brethren. That meant to Samuel, and that meant to our people as well, that you needed to find the most senior person amongst this group of people to act as king over your people. So in Israel, they had 12 tribes there that Samuel went amongst and found Saul. Saul's qualification was his genealogy. In 1856, Weremu Tamihana directed the multitudes to do the same thing. Somebody stood up at that meeting and says, but we don't have 12 tribes of Israel. We've got more tribes than that. Weremu Tamihana said back to them, think back to 1350. Seven waka came here, and they contained all of these people. And so in 1856, they based their process on the seven waka. And from amongst those people on that seven waka, they found somebody with a senior genealogy. How did they know he was senior? It was because his genealogy connected him with the captain of each of those waka. And that was very special. Everybody else could align themselves in their genealogy with all of those waka, sure. Every one of us can. But our ancestry is of low rank. In 1856, Weremu Tamihana formed a group as directed by the meeting that day. And that group of people traveled over 2 years around the whole of Aotearoa. And they put the offer to every single rangatira that they came into contact with. Every time they came across somebody. They declined based on the reason that they don't have enough food to entertain the kind of crowds that would be an audience to a king. There was a tribe just east of us here. Their reason was because this is the kind of fish we got in our lake, and that's not a very nice fish for a king. So, no, I can't be a king. And so they go to the next chief, and they say to him, would you like to be our king? Here's the criteria. And after examining the criteria, he too comes up with an excuse. Every single chief they came across, once they realized what the criteria was, all of them declined, politely declined. Oh, no, I don't want to be king. Oh, I can't be king because of this reason, because of that reason. They came back to their central meeting place at on the shores of Lake Taupo and again deliberated, what's our next step? Well, the next step was obvious. You go back to the place that you started. They went to see Potato in the first place. He says, no, you go find somebody else. And so that's when they had the meeting on the shores of Lake Taupo, and then everybody said that this is the criteria and this is where you need to go. So, when Wiramu Tamihana did his rounds, 2.5 years it took them. They ended up going back to Waikato, back here to Waikato, and they once again entertained Potato Te Whero to be the first Māori king. Potato Te Whero again declined, politely, with another reason. And so this group of chiefs had to go around again on their rounds and propose this reason. And there was another few months in the making. They came back and they again went back to Potato Te Whero. And then after all of that, he says to them, well, I'm still not happy and I still won't accept the role of king or the position of king because there's something else that's playing on my mind and I need to get rid of it because it will not be conducive of my role as king. And so everybody went away again and they were wondering what kind of riddles is Potato talking in. What is he trying to mean here? What King Potato was meaning is that before the notion of a Māori king, all of our tribes, even in the Waikato, were having disagreements with one another. Ngāti Haua and my people of Ngāti Maniapoto, where we were today, actually, our day, what's the time now? It's almost about midday. Look, our day is 10 hours old already. We started this morning at 3 o'clock. And went down to Ngāti Maniapoto with our paramount chief, Wiramu Tamihana's great-great-great-great-great-grandson. Took him down there this morning. We blessed the house down there, had a breakfast and came back here just in time for this session. But my people of Ngāti Maniapoto, Potato Te Whero says that, no, my heart is not happy to be this king for as long as I have this daru daru on me. And daru daru or paru is a, it's not an anointing, but he suffered a indignation, if you like, and that he needed to appease that before he could continue on. In those days, the only way to appease this thing that he was suffering from was to go to war. So Wiramu Tamihana and Potato Te Whero fought one another one day in those times. Afterwards, when it came to establishing this kingship, by then too, both Potato Te Whero and Wiramu Tamihana were learned Bible students. They had read the Bible from cover to cover. They had came to understand the Bible in their own way, from cover to cover. And they applied it in their lives, and they applied it in their work, and they applied it in the direction that they wanted their tribes to move in. So when it came to this time to choosing a king, the very last hurdle that they had to cross was taking this feeling of revenge that needed to be appeased. So Potato, that's what he was suffering from. Wiremu Tamihana had the answer. And there was one of two answers. Either we go to battle and we fight one another until the death, or we compromise somewhere. Let's find a result, but not have to go through the same process. So instead of going to battle and instead of going to war, what Wiremu Tamihana did in his humbleness, yet it was equal to him losing a battle on the battlefield. What he did was he got down on his hands and knees and he crawled between the legs of Potato Te Whirowhiro. And he ceded to Potato Te Whirowhiro, my people, my land, and my mana, my authority. I give to you, ake, 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 forever and ever and ever. From that moment on, keeping in mind, both Potato Te Whirowhiro and Wiremu Tamihana were equal status in the first histories. They were kings unto themselves within their own tribal groupings. But when we established the Māori king, the purpose of that was to stop any more alienation of land, was to stop any more spilling of blood. Doesn't matter whose blood. Stop the spilling of blood. And to cause unity amongst our people. Kia puru a te toto, kia here a te whenua, kia maunga rongo ki te tangata. That's what that means. To stop the flow of blood, to stop the alienation of lands, and to cause unity amongst people. That was the purpose, and that is the purpose of the King movement today. And so, when we have taken on the King movement the way we have, God is in it. Tangata whenua are played by all of the tribes and the hapu surrounding the king. Today, Tainui is known as having the guardianship of the king movement. So we're there to attend to all of the king's needs. All of our tribes. For Ngāti Haua and our paramount chief, his son was supposed to have been here right now. He was one of my props, but that's all good. Wiremu Tamihana is there, but today we are going to move forward with the same direction, with the same plan, but this time, as opposed to our previous history, God is with us every step of the way. Been with us since 1858, since the establishment of the King movement within Tainui and within Aotearoa. And every time a king passes on, our paramount chief takes the Bible that anointed the first Māori king and places it upon the head of the current Māori king and declares him king. Oil, etc., goes on his head, and we've seen all of the ceremony in 2006 when Te Ataerangi Kahu passed away. She had been Māori queen for 40 years, so many of us in our generations had no inkling what took place in 1966 when she became Māori queen and her father died. But when she passed away in 2006, 40 years later, we're all privileged to have been alive. during this generation. Our uncle, Uncle Bill, who was our paramount chief before our cousin, Anaru, he was chief for 29 years, but he never got to place the Bible on any king's head. Tateirangi Kahu, the Māori queen, lived too long. Which was really good, very good, because she was like a mother figure to many of us. But if you want to hear more, come to Rukumana Marae. I'm going to wind up now, but anytime you get a chance, you see me around the place, pull me up. I don't mind that. My role on in Ngāti Hauā is as chair of the Kaumātua Council of Ngāti Hauā. I consider that a privilege because I'm a foreigner in Ngāti Hauā. I'm from Ngāti Maniapoto, only married to my wife who's from Ngāti Hauā. But this is what Ngāti Hauā have done with me. It's a destiny. It wasn't my choice. My wife and I, we married 41 years ago. We were young. We didn't know what we were doing, but we did it. But how we got married is the thing. We didn't get married in a registrar's office. We didn't get married in a church. We didn't get married the way you would have gotten married. We got married by my father, who married us. Present was my mother, my mother-in-law, our paramount chief, and his two sisters. And that was our wedding. And it was performed in the porchway of our ancestral house at Rukumana in Murrinsville. And I think that was a omen that we get to where we are now and we're still doing what we need to do for our people. Only we can do it without fear, without question. But I think our backgrounds, though, I'm Maniapoto. My wife is Ngāti Hauā. This morning when we were down at Ngāti Maniapoto, I stood up. Actually, we were all called. If you're from Ngāti Maniapoto, if you're from Waikato, you come and sit over here. And I was in between, sort of torn. Yeah. But when I saw my paramount chief go and sit where he needed to sit, I stayed on this line. When I stood up and I said, but all good. Ngāti Maniapoto, this Ngāti Maniapoto has come and escorted your older brother. In 1400s, the 1400s, two brothers were born. The oldest was Te Hingarangi, the youngest was Maniapoto. And today, the descendants of Te Hingarangi are with us here today. Paul is one of those. He's one of the organisers on the board of the festival here. Ladies in the back there. And Whare, my brother-in-law over here. All, everybody, that's who we are. So we come here to provide a pōwhiri for the Festival 1 workers and everyone else at the beginning of Festival 1. And been doing that for a few years now. We're doing that as hosts. Hosts of the whenua. And by doing that, it's clearing a pathway for you all to come and enjoy your time here. Like I said, at that pōwhiri on Thursday night, there's no mystery about this place. There's no mystery here at all. Might be a creek. But that's called Waikato. But there's no mystery here at all. Wetakoko is the name of this place. Wetakoko was the name of the tribe of people that lived here, and their job was simply to till the ground and to grow food and then to share it. And so all of that food went throughout the country for the world, went out to the world, for that matter. Argentina, North America, England. This is 1800s on sea-going vessels that would traverse up the Waikato River from Port of Waikato all the way to Cambridge. And then they'd travel all the way back down, and then they take their produce to Auckland, and then from there on bigger ships, even one of those ships was named Tainui, to Argentina and other places. Seven flour mills along the Waikato River between Cambridge and Hamilton that Ngāti Hauā owned. I'm going to cut one part of the session off. You're not going to ask questions. You're going to catch me again some other time. But I'm going to pull the plug now, and hopefully that, I might have enlightened you a little bit about Ngāti Hauā, Tangata Whenua, and God. The same goes for many other Māori throughout the country and their relationship with God. It all ascended to that place the same way that Ngāti Hauā did. And so thank you all for coming here today and hearing my story. Maybe next year we could do it again. Kia ora.
It's been a privilege to sit here and listen to you, Sonny. Thank you for your wisdom and thank you for your clear explanation. I think I'll remember that. Because we get hot and dusty and tired at festival, and to have your words plainly spoken and with so much knowledge, we value that. And I know that festival is very glad to have your guidance in these matters too. And thank you for your family who've come as well. We appreciate you being here.
For more episodes, go to festival.one.